Almighty Father, we thank you so much because we know that you deal with us like children. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being our caretaker. Thank you for the defeat of the plan and purpose of Satan for our lives. Thank you for doing your will in us. Glory be to your name in Jesus' name. Father, the message we are going to hear, use it to minister to us and bless our lives indeed. We will love you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Be seated. Praise the Lord. Like I've explained to us the other time, today, in preparation for the building work we are starting, we are going to talk about money. It's not going to be new pledges like we normally do, because the Lord did, we are to finish paying by the end of this month. Nevertheless, the work we have at hand is demanding for money, big amount of money. There is no way we can start it and do it well without talking about money. So we'll be talking about money. And because we are going to talk about money, I've decided to read a portion of the Bible to your hearing and get you prepared. So you are preaching because you are talking about money? Yes. Don't say I know pastor. He's doing this preaching because of the money. Don't know pastor. I'm doing it because of money. And it's part of my duty to do that. So we are reading Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Be not deceived. It's a common Bible statement. You have similar statements in some other places in the Bible. Let no man deceive you. Be not deceived. And so on and so forth. This does not mean, since God is going to protect you, you cannot be deceived. It doesn't mean God will not permit you to be deceived. It actually means that you can be deceived. And since you can be deceived, make sure you are not deceived. It is also saying that for you not to be deceived, you have a role to play. And that you will have to play this role if you are not going to be deceived. Meaning that to refuse to play the right role is to make yourself deceivable. Be not deceived. The next statement there is God is not mocked. I have told us what it means in the past. I know it. But today, in preparation for this message, before coming to preach today, I decided to check it again. And I decided to give you the Greek word that is translated, the Greek phrase that is translated, God is not mocked. In telling the Yoruba people, I said, sometimes when you are trying to speak a language you don't speak, if care is not taken, you may lose some of your teeth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Greek or mutterize Satan. Or mutterize Satan. O U, then M U K T E R I Z E T A N. Mutterize Satan. And the meaning is to turn the nose up at one. To turn the nose up at one. That's the meaning of mutterize Satan. Look at me, everybody. Lift up your head. Turn the nose up at me. Let me see. Turn the nose up at me. I didn't say turn the face up. Many of you are turning your faces. Turn the nose up at me. Yoruba call that yimu. How about you say yimu? The meaning is that you cannot yimu at God. Why do you turn the nose up? I illustrated it this way under the Yoruba program that if you are a mother, you are working, and your child, your small child, will not allow you to do the work, they're stopping you with this or that, so as to gain a short time freedom from the baby, you send the baby to go and get you a road done. Everybody say a road done. Even myself, at the age of 50 something, I don't know the meaning of that word, arodan. But I know what it is used for. This is how it is used. As you are doing the work and the child is disturbing you, you now call, come. Come. Go to your mommy and say, Pastor say, he should give you arodan. That's the kind of person you send such a message. Lagos people may not know the meaning. When he gets to that fellow, he say, "Mommy, me, my mommy said I should collect arodan." That one will say, "Oh, arodan is in the hand of Mama Bimbo. Go to the third house and meet Mama Bimbo." The child will go to Mama Bimbo. "My mommy said I should go to Mama Deji to collect arodan. Mama Deji said it's with Mama Bimbo. So I'm looking for Mama Bimbo." They said, "Mama Bimbo, my mommy said I should bring arodan." Say, "Ah, Yasheri took it last night. Go to Yasheri. She's at the back of the house." That is how they will send the child from one house to the other. And Mama will be doing what? Doing her work undisturbed. When the child is starting the journey, as Mama said, "Go to Mama Bimbo and collect arodan," and the child leaves, Mama will look at her neighbor sitting by her side. She will turn her nose. You know the meaning? I have successfully deceived my child. It's used in another way. If daddy is sleeping and mommy doesn't want daddy to be disturbed, and a talkative, a friend of daddy that is a talkative, comes to visit, and mommy knows for sure, if he knows that daddy is sleeping, he will go inside the room and wake daddy. When the Baba Laroye comes around and say, "Where is your daddy?" Mama will say, "He went to the back of the house just now. I didn't know where he go." And that man turns to the back of the house to go and look for him. He comes back and say, "I can't find him. I don't know." And the man goes back to his house. Then Mama will do that. She will turn the nose. The meaning is that I have just successfully deceived him. You don't turn the nose most of the time unless there is a third party to watch you turning the nose. Because it is a sign language. You don't say anything audibly. It's only the nose. And those who know the signal, immediately you do like this, they know what you are saying is that I have successfully deceived him. So the Greek used something like that, like the Yoruba. What the book of Galatians is now telling us is that don't let any man deceive you. You cannot successfully deceive God. Tell your neighbor, you cannot successfully deceive God. Say it again. You can lie to God, but you cannot deceive God. What's he saying? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You know what it means? We are talking about spending money for God now. If you join the club of the wretched ones, and say, "God knows I am poor. I have nothing to give." That is the group you have chosen to belong to. And God will not force you to get out of that group. You will be there. That woman in the temple did not have much money. The two mites that she had, she felt that bringing one of them would not be enough. She brought the two. The Lord saw it. The Lord did not tell Judas, "Judas, dip your hand to your pocket and give her money." I know that money was not given to Jesus. It was given to the temple. But Jesus had money in the hand of Judas that he could ask Judas to give to the man. Maybe you need to know that Judas had been doing that before. Jesus had been doing that before. At the Lord's Supper, when Jesus told Judas that which you are going to do it quickly, we are told that the rest disciples thought that Jesus had told Judas to go and give money to beggars, to the poor. That suggests that in the past, Jesus had been sending Judas to give part of the money in his hand to the poor. But this time, Jesus did not tell Judas to give that woman money. Instead, Jesus chose to commend the woman before the disciples. Maybe it will interest you to know that Jesus did not say one word to that man as far as the Bible record is concerned. You know what it means? The woman did not hear what Jesus said. All he said it to the 12 disciples. The woman didn't hear. Why didn't Jesus suggest that her money should be returned, or Judas should even give double of the money to her? Jesus knew that what she sowed, she will reap. And to prevent her from sowing is to rob her of reaping. I don't know if you get that point. To prevent a person from sowing is to rob the person of reaping. It has happened many times when I go to preach and people want to give me honorarium and I refuse to take it. It's common. Say, "Don't rob us of our blessing. We have told so. Don't rob us of." And I say, "No, you can't change me. That's my policy for now." Then they'll talk and talk. I won't take it. But at a corner of my heart, you know what I tell myself? If you really mean to sow, you can still sow. I don't tell them. But it's in my heart. You say, "How can they sow? Are there no other pastors? There are so many other pastors that are eager to collect the money. Before they offer them, they will collect it." If you think that man is a man of God, you have sown now. I don't take it. You give it to another pastor. What do you lose? Don't they have offering box in their church? Can they sow into the offering box? They said the money is from that offering box. You think if somebody really mean that compulsorily that money, I must sow it in Bible pattern. Even if I'm not ready to collect it from him, there is no way he can sow it. You didn't get my point. If he mean that compulsorily, that money must get to the post of Bible pattern, and he offers me and I refuse to collect it, can he still give it to Bible pattern? How? He can come to church. Then when you say bring out your offering, he draws it in the offering box without telling anybody. Will God know? Will God know? Will I know? Will he have reward? Then why must he give it to me? Somebody was in my office one day. He has just collected a big amount of money in his office. It was to pay tithe of 110,000 or thereabouts. After giving me the testimony and talking and the rest of them, he said, "I don't even know where that the tithe box is. This is the tithe." I opened the curtain of my office because he's supposed to be a member of the church and he doesn't know the tithe box. What does that suggest? You don't know. Answer me, what does that suggest? He has not been paying tithe. And the day he will pass time, he will make it temptation for power. Pastor, so that I will collect it behind the scene and eat it. Maybe you don't know that that is what people use to buy praise from pastor. I opened the curtain of this office and I said, "Look, that pole, that's the tithe box." And I closed the curtain back. Whatever a man soweth, he will reap. As we talk about money, if you do as if you are poor, you are wretched, or you have so many commitments. You know, the rest of us, we don't have commitments. None of us have children in school. None of us is doing any projects. None of us is having challenges, financial challenges. You are the only one. And therefore, when others are sowing, you pretend as if you cannot do nothing. The day of reaping is the same thing. Look, God does not license anybody to force him to do for people what he is not willing to do for them. Pastoral work has been turned to another thing. No, if you come to me and I do deliverance for you, or I take you to the mountain, or I choose a prayer point for you, or we do fasting and prayer, if I lay my hand on you, if I look at you, if I bless you, if I pray for you, come. Any pastor that wants you to receive anything from God, his duty is to help you to know how to give such a thing to God. So if you want God to give you money, give God money. If you want God to bless you, bless him. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. So when it's time to give to God, you give something that is not important to you to God. When it's time for God to give to you, he will give you something that will not be important to you. When you want to give to God, and you give something that is important to you to God, when God is going to give to you, we make sure that it's something that is very important, because he will always multiply what you give. Another thing I added to the preaching today, which I have not been saying before, is that it's not only that when you sow, yam, you will not risk cassava. The quality of what you sow also determines the quality of what you will reap. There is one they call a Greek maize. You have local maize. If you plant local maize, are you going to reap a Greek maize? Huh? In Ekiti, in those days, there was an institution they call Ekiti Akoko, a Greek development, something, some project. It was based in Ekiti. Praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. They have a special type of cassava. I asked in the Yoruba program just now that how long does it take for it to be ready for harvest? They said 6 months. Akoko cassava, if you plant it today, 6 months time, it is ready, matured. Whereas there is another type of cassava that people also plant in that place that will take 3 years. If you go there second year, you won't have anything meaningful to harvest. When it's time for you to plant now, if you plant that one that will take 3 years, and your friend plant that one that will take 6 months, when he goes to harvest, do you have something to harvest? Come on. The duty of pastors is to open Bible, show their members the truth of the word of God, and tell them, if you do it like this, this will be the result. If you do it like this, this will be the result. It's not their duty to deceive people and tell them God will do for them what he never promised to do. Be not deceived. If somebody wants to deceive you, don't permit yourself to be deceived. God is not mocked. I've told you, it means, oh, le yimusi olorun. You cannot turn the nose. Meaning you cannot successfully deceive him. You can lie to him, but you cannot successfully deceive him. Decide once and for all how you are going to do it. I said two things in order, about two or three, that was not really part of the message. But because at a point I told them, I know many of you don't pay tithe. And they were looking at me. I know somebody will say, how do you know? Oh. I don't need to go into the spirit to know if the church people are paying tithe or not. I now illustrated it this way. I say, come. If three people are in a church, the salary of this one is 10,000. Let me use another one. The salary of this one is 20,000. The salary of the third one is 50,000. That is how much? That's 80,000. Am I right? How much is the tithe? Huh? By the time we open the tithe book, we see 2,000 there. Who is faithful to tithing? Huh? It's either 10,000 or 20, but there is, you don't have two people that are faithful. Am I correct? That's how pastors know whether people pay tithe or not. There are other ones that are clearer than that. It's like the church branches. When they bring the tithe from the branch, you know Brother Lagbaja is an headmaster in a public school. How much is his salary? Sister Lagbaja has been working with Ministry of ... for 25 years as a graduate. How much is her salary likely to be? By the time the church is having 30 members, 7 of who are gainfully employed, good salary earners. And at the end of the month, they brought their tithe, 4,375 naira. You need to tell the GO anything before he knows they are not paying. In the same way, I know many of you don't pay tithe. Many. You say, but we march to the tithe, but we go there to deceive ourselves. You say, how do we do it? Not everybody, but some people. Bring out your tithe, lift it up. Okay. Carry one big 1,000 naira. See, the money he received last time was how much? 50,000. How much is the tithe? Eh? How much is he taking there? Who is he deceiving? Many of us do it. What are we supposed to do? Don't repent if you don't want to. You will be reaping what you are sowing. That's what the Bible says. Don't let any man deceive you. Kologun. There are those who go to pastor. If you go to that big pastor, if he lays hand upon you, if he pray for you, any pastor that will help you is a pastor that shows you the truth of the Bible and show you how to fulfill it. When you fulfill it, it will work like magic. Let's illustrate it this way. This fan is blowing now. Why? Because it's in good condition. It is rightly positioned. It is well connected. The wire is connected to the meter. The meter is connected to the national grid or a generating set. Am I correct? If somebody now come to this point, put a bigger fan of better quality than this. This is made in China. That one made in Germany or UK, GB, Great Britain. Stamp on it. And fix it well. Then put the wire, run it. In fact, bypass the what do you call it? The meter. Take it directly to the pole and connect the negative line to the negative wire. The only thing that remains is for the positive wire to be connected. But he said, I've tried. Have to write a bot fan, I position it, I run the wire here, the negative wire is connected. Only the positive wire that is not connected will fan work. This one will be working. That beautiful, good one will not do what? Will not work. In the same way, if you don't do what you are expected to do the way you are expected to do it, you will not have the result you are looking for. Don't let any man deceive you. It's another opportunity to contribute. What will you contribute? You say we are not going to make new vow. We are making new vow later. We still make at least one vow more before the end of this year. Later. You say, what are we doing today? We are starting a new project today. And it will consume money. And we cannot wait until the vow time before we do something. You say, what are we going to do? When we get there, I will tell you. But what I'm telling you for now is that learn to sow well. Tell your neighbor. Say it again. The quality of what you sow, the quantity of what you sow, the ground on which you sow it, they are all contributing factors. They are part of what will determine the harvest you will get. If you see somebody inside bus praying for travelers, then after the prayer, I say, praise the Lord. We are building our church at so. We need money. Everybody contribute for building our church. If you give them your money, It's like you open your eyes and throw your money into conga and say you will reap. When it's time to reap, what do you reap? In case you don't know, it will spoil the water in your well. The seed. You have to prepare ground. Where you are going to sow your seed must be where you can go back to take care of it. True or false? If you are going to have harvest. If you carry your seed to the bush and just close your eyes and say, I'm sowing in Jesus' name, you scatter it in the bush. What will follow? Harvest. I didn't know what took me to singing Ekwa song today. It almost became my sermon. But I said something before singing it. Okay, I was talking to those children. And I have the children here too. I said I was preaching somewhere 2 Saturdays ago. And after the preaching, an old woman who must be in her early 70s was asked to come and give vote of thanks. The one you gave to an individual. On Friday, somebody was mandated to give it. As at the time they said the man was to give vote of thanks, I was already outside. I ran so that I would not hear. No, not running like that, but I moved fast and entered my car. I didn't hear. You say, who are they to thank? They want to thank the preacher. But this one, I couldn't leave my seat because of a reason. So they gave the microphone to the old woman, and it's somebody I know. She has known me for years. Highly respected. I respect her. Daughter of God. When she took the microphone, she was now referring to what I said in my preaching. And what I said in my preaching was that, no, I was talking to them straight. No, when I go to pastor's conference, I don't talk to them like I'm talking to church members. I talk to them the way they will never call me again. I tell them the truth I know. So I told them that in almost all your churches today, you are no longer singing choruses. You rather sing praise, worship. Abby? Elderly people, Bible pattern, you may not know. All your children in school, they know. Okay, it was the school issue. I wanted to warn the children. May God have mercy on you, my children. May the devil not succeed in your life. I have a case I'm pulling currently. Somebody says, is it part of your sermon? Put it anywhere you like. Mommy called me from somewhere outside Lagos and said in the school of my daughter, there was this visiting pastor, minister, that come to them to minister to them. And I've been warning my daughter to become a worker in the fellowship. But her father had told her not to join the workers there. Because the father was fearing something. And the man said, you must join workers. Because you didn't join workers, it was this and that. To cut a long story short, one day, the man called my daughter and said, I'm in so-so-so place, come and meet me there. They are pastor, daddy in the Lord. Our child, a small child, who have just entered university, I don't know if she has spent 1 year, a higher institution, now went to meet pastor. Then he got the pastor, said, enter the car. He entered. And pastor drove the girl around the city till evening time, asking him all kind of silly questions. The kind of question that child, a small child, have never been asked, I believe. At the end of the whole thing, he carried him to an hotel. And both of them entered the hotel. But the guy refused. In the morning, following day, he gave the guy 1,000 naira. He said, go. When the girl got back home, the girl could not talk. She kept it to herself. The 1,000, she kept it somewhere. But, parents, may the grace of God come on you. Amen. that what to do at the right time, God will teach you. Mommy decided that the message preached in Lagos last time, all of us, we are going to hear it. Guess what the title was? If you were the one buried 2 weeks ago. It's a recent message. I've had a report from Port Harcourt. Say after we, all of us, we listened to it, we began to weep. That was the message mommy put. And all of them sat down to hear. After the message, the child said, mommy, I could not tell you on October 1. He called me and said that you come, I went. He carried me to on the Regret Hotel. The second day, he released me and gave me 1,000 naira. Mommy called me immediately. See what they said they've done to my daughter. And when God will do it well, the pastor was from a church I know. I quickly picked my phone and called one of their senior pastors. Hello, how are you, sir? Do you know a pastor with so-so name? He said, yes. He said, I will give you the number of the mother. The mother will explain it to you yourself. They spoke. The case was to be reported to the GO, but the GO was not around. It was reported to the executive members. We are still pursuing that. We are yet to know what will come out of it. But the pastor, Otiru Gioyi. Now, the guy now turned the 1,000 to Richard Card and sent it through phone back to the owner. He now called the guy. Why are you sending back the money? Mama now snatched the phone from the guy and said, yes, I am the mother of your... Don't call my daughter again. The man now sent a text message, which is on my phone. Mama, I don't know what Lagbaja told you, but I want you to know that I'm a man of God. And I have children that are of the same age with Lagbaja. When? I will not call her again, but I will not stop to pray for her. What and who? Oh, you don't know. Holy man. Holy man of God. I could have called the man, but I decided to leave it for his church authority. Children, you better listen. Fellowship leader. Somebody you call daddy. So I was talking to those pastors, and the mama took the microphone to give photo of what? Thanks. And I know the way they used to do it. Some of them lie in the process. No, the mama did not. Because she had known me for long, so she had what to say. Those who don't have what to say, when they fight you, they lie to their members in the process of praising you so that you feel wonderful. I remember I told a pastor before that, you lie to your members. So when I go, you tell them the truth. You say, why? He said many things, some things about me that were not true. You say, give one. One of which is that, He has written many books, true. He has traveled far and wide. Ngo, have I traveled far and wide? You don't know your pastor? Are you a local man? Oba Wole. They say in Lagos language, this area is rural. Some places are urban center, some places are rural area. But this place is double rural. You say, but you travel out of this place. Does that mean you have traveled far and wide? As at that day, if I remember, I think I told the man, if I'm not mistaken, that come. If you are going to the east, I've not gone. Have I reached Benin in those days? Maybe you don't know. I tried to enter Onitsha. God's law did not allow me from Asaba. I turned back. So I've not crossed River Niger to east. Okay, I traveled by air to you and Port Harcourt. Praise God this year. North, I've reached Abuja. Is it Niger? When I reached Niger State, because I got to Suleja.
I'm not sure. It seems I got to Suleja.
Where again? Outside Nigeria. I've not traveled once.
So who are you?
A pastor wants me to preach for him in Ghana before the end of this year. I hope I will go. So I've not traveled far away. Say, eh? Ah, I hate. My pastor has never traveled far away. Even if I'm no longer your pastor from today, I've been your pastor up to today. You can't do nothing to that. So I told the man, you have deceived your people by saying I've traveled far and wide. I've not traveled far and wide. So what am I saying is that some of them tell their members what I discovered were not the perfect truth, only to make sure I look okay. That's a common thing. So our grandma now did not say anything bad about me, except that she began to re-preach my sermon. And she came to a point and said, though I know she too danced very well when we were dancing, she now said, yes, it's true. Dancing local is dancing we are not doing in church. In those days, her Ekwa song. She began to praise Ekwa song so well that I began to remember Ekwa songs. So the mama now began to mention some of those songs and said, that's what we sing in those days. She was actually repeating what I told her. You know what I told them? I said, almost in all your churches, you don't sing choruses again. You instead sing praise worship. And some people will even preach to you that it's better. Praise worship is better than chorus. Yeah, it sounds so, it looks so, but it is not so. Praise worship makes you to praise who? You talk to who? Who do you talk to in praise worship, for Christ's sake? Who? God and is God. And go to Ephesians chapter 5. He said you should talk to one another in psalms, in songs, in spiritual songs. Sing and make melodies. That verse 18. Do you have it there? Verse 18. Read it. Ephesians 5. No. Yes, yes, go on. Go to the verse 5.
Verse 5.
No, 19.
Speaking to yourselves is...
Listen. Speaking to who?
Yourselves.
Come on, people, speaking to who? Oh, yeah, start.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns.
In psalms, in hymns.
And spiritual songs.
Spiritual songs.
Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord.
Did you hear it? That's 5:19. You speak to yourselves, you sing and make melody to the Lord. In choruses, we usually start by singing praises to the Lord. Abi, we are singing unto the Lord, singing hallelujah. We are jumping unto the Lord, jumping hallelujah. We are dancing unto the Lord. We sing to the Lord. But we come to a point that we say, you cannot tell me God is dead. He wakes me up this morning. You cannot tell me God is dead. He lives within my heart. He opens my eyes to see the way I should go. You cannot tell me God is dead. Then if you fire a little more, you receive anointing. You now come, ati shengbo, kuto, kuto rarao, ati shengbo, pesu saina. You know what kill choruses? Songs like that. Because while you are singing such a song in some churches, a woman will look down. By the time she lift up her head, tears will be flowing. And by the time she looks towards the pastor knows why the woman is what? Weeping. The pastor is the cause. So if he knows how to stop that song, what will he do? Eh? The song that is making his girlfriend to be thinking wrongly.
He says, so praise to God does not make people think. Kilo na yo. Igwe, 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 igwe. I'm not against it. He's talking about God. He says, Mama, what is the meaning of Igwe? You don't know. Igwe is heaven. Are you sure? Oh, okay. I didn't raise my hand. I put it down. Igwe, Igwe, what does it mean? They say it's king.
You have to say it's king. Chineke Igwe.
Huh?
God of heaven.
Ah. So ordinary Igwe. Huh? Eli Igwe. Eli Igwe. But these are always now ordinary Igwe. No guy Eli anything. This is what I told my children under the Yoruba program. If you go to fellowship in school and all they sing is praise worship, Majesty, Kingdom Authority, flow my throne unto his own kingdom of praise. It's okay, sing it with them. But when you get back home, go to your box, bring out our cassette, put that one. Do you understand? Hear that also to balance it. He said, what do you hear? You know our song now. He said, that song, I must not let my co-student hear and hear it alone. Hallelujah. Is this what you are listening to in 21st century? You tell them, this is the breast I suck till I grow like this. And when you say I am different from other students, this is what made me different. What brought us to all of this? Whatever a man sweat, that shall he reap. I didn't say this to Yoruba people, but you are blessed. They are blessed too. Let me say to you, if you sow sin, you reap something. Life, the life you live, is like building. It's like farming. Every step you take, you are sowing something. Every decision you make, everything you do, you are sowing something. And what you sow, the quality, the quantity, the type of ground on which you sow, all of them will help to determine the fruit you will have. The seed you will have. The harvest you will have. I mean, the seed you sow determine the harvest you will have. For the work of God, you want to reap something good, sow something good. Don't wait until somebody come to worship. So, when people are urging you to do so, sow when people are laying bad example for you by not sowing. Let's read one passage more. And then we'll close this aspect of the program. Job chapter 13. Verse 9. Do I say praise worship is wrong? Do I say it is sinful? Do I say the song containing Igwe is bad? I only say we must not limit our choruses to praise worship. Just like we worship God, we should obey the Bible by also talking to one. We should also talk to one another. On the last day, only true believers shall be raptured. Oyinbo e ngo o tun se turu turu. If Peter's English did not sound like that, nobody will know he was not educated. So Job chapter 13 verse 9. Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye mock him?
You can mock your pastor. You can deceive your pastor. You can deceive your neighbor. You can deceive your friend. But there is a man, there is one you cannot deceive. That's God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap out sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap out bountifully. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We will pray on the message.
Shall we stand up to pray? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to hear from you. You have reminded us once again that when we are sowing, what we sow matters a lot and often determine what we reap. Almighty Father, we are praying. We also thank you, Father, because you are treating us as your own children. Father, we are praying, Lord, that the grace to sow that which will be acceptable to you. Father, give us the grace to sow in Jesus' name. Almighty Father, Lord, you have told us that even the first thing we need to give is our soul, is our life. And thank God we have given our life to you. Father, we pray, King of Glory, Lord, may Satan not take it in the name of Jesus. And we are praying, King of Glory, Lord, as from today, anything we will be sowing, Father, will be things that will be acceptable to you in Jesus' name. And we pray, King of Glory, Lord, we don't want to participate in vain because we know there is a reward for whatever we do to you, for you. And we are praying, King of Glory, Lord, that the grace to be in a position to receive from you, Father, Father, give us that grace in Jesus' name. May we not depart from you. May we not do things that will displease you in the name of Jesus. Two people saw in the Bible. Cain, he tried. Abel, he also saw. But we are told that of Abel was acceptable to you. This is a lesson to us that whenever we are sowing, we need to hear from you and be sure that it is, whatever we are sowing is something that will be acceptable to you. Father, we pray, King of Glory, Lord, that the grace to be patient, to learn from the examples of the past, so that we can do that which is right in your sight and that which will be acceptable to you. Father, give us that grace in Jesus' name. I pray, King of Glory, Lord, because we are part of the kingdom, and that is why we have been told, we have been encouraged to take back the things of God. I pray, King of Glory, Lord, that Satan will not be able to snatch us away from your kingdom in Jesus' name. The benefits of your kingdom we continue to enjoy, not only today, but tomorrow and eternity in Jesus' name. The message we have heard today, give us the grace not to lose the track of everything we have been told, but to be able to put everything we have been told in practice. Give us that grace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because I've answered. We pray for your servant, your views. I pray you will keep him the more. You will enlighten him the more. You will anoint him the more. And you bless him the more. Thank you, Lord, because I've answered, Lord. As you are going to walk, give us the strength to walk. Give us the grace to do it well, in a way that it will be acceptable to you. Thank you, Lord, because I've answered. For in Jesus' name, we are prayed.